Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics Podcast.
I'm Andy Little.
I'm Plushy.
My name is Rusty, and we also have Sean tonight.
Hi, guys.
Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Monado Meltdown 24.
Let's go. Match record,
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we're on the podcast. Oh,
go on, back.
Roll the outro. Andy's laughing at his own jokes.
Oh, there's just so many good moments in that intro.
Did you have D-balls as well?
He was just sitting there giggling. Well, now we've got a new intro for next year.
Good times.
Oh, how are we all, gentlemen? Andy, kick off with you. You weren't at the match there recently. You were off doing something else.
Yes.
Move on.
Cool.
Sean, is it interesting, Andy? Is it worth talking about?
Just another wedding I had to go to.
Oh, yeah. Typical.
Was it yours?
No, it wasn't mine.
You should do something about that.
Shh. Okay, that's already been enough.
Wow.
Okay. How many years has it been?
Eight.
I made mine wait nine, so you've got one to go.
Yeah, and you know what? Her mum's probably watching, so.
My number one supporter.
Well, speaking of number one supporters, Sean and Plushy, you guys were the match directors behind the Monado Meltdown last weekend.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, Sean, thanks for coming along.
No, thanks for having me.
And here we are. How'd it go? Give us the overall. How'd you find it? First time match directing for you.
First time for me, yeah. It's a big job. It is a big job, but I think we did well.
Plus she seems to disagree with it would appear.
Who's the she we're talking about? Let's not go into it.
Anyway, gents, carry on. Tell us all about it.
I don't know. Where do we start? Where do we stop?
Well, you guys put up a good post about, you know, how many hours and steps and everything you'd put in, so...
We thought about that because we're like, we're going to scare everybody off from ever being a match director.
Probably.
Again. Probably, yeah. We put in a lot of work.
Yeah. We have had some later in the year match directors reach out already to us.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Set the bar too high, boys.
Yeah, correct.
Well, like let me ask you this then. How did you guys end up in this relationship together?
Well,
it was a cold night in Sydney.
Okay. You know,
no.
My first choice was unreliable.
You weren't there, Andy. Okay, fair enough. So you moved on.
Yep. And I think Sean might have been standing there when I looked around and was like, who's the next?
So you were approached, Plushy, to run the match?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And then you asked Andy and he's like, no.
I said never by myself again.
Okay. Mm. Yep.
Mm. Yep. Learned that lesson last year. Yes. And decided I needed somebody else that was hardworking that. And you can put up with my bullshit.
I can see why you moved on from this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, checks out.
No, putting up with my bullshit is very important skill to have. Yeah.
Number 10 down the list.
Yeah. He didn't have a job at the time, so it was easy.
Correct.
Had some spare time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, 590 of the 600 hours were actually Sean.
Yeah. Fair enough. No wonder it turned into a good match.
Oh, wow. How'd the floor feel before?
it was great.
Yeah, for those playing at home.
Yeah, I fell over.
You shouldn't trip over cords.
Yeah, I tripped over a cord that Josh put down.
Oh, dear.
You're welcome. I'll be here all week.
You should use your microphone, Josh.
That one's not plugged in.
Oh, okay.
there's obviously no time to tape them down, is there?
What did we do? I think, definitely not.
Like,
back on course because, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
When did we start talking? Like November, December last year? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was late last year. About to start. Yeah, club finale. So December.
I've already been thinking about it for a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. About some of the things I'd like to do.
Mm. So how do you piece it together? Do you start with like stages or concepts or how does it sort of come together?
I think we started with barricades.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what we decided. We decided we wanted like just barricades that people had not seen, had not shot off before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we started and then sort of grew it from there. So we went, we'll put some this here and that there and you know, big pile of rocks and all the stuff. So, and yeah, we were really lucky. We had some guys get on board to help us out with barricade stuff. So, big shout out to Roland Earthworks and More Engineering in Murraybridge. They helped us out with some rocks and also a telehandler so we could build it.
So we could actually make it happen.
Yeah, that was amazing. So once we sort of had our barricades worked out, then we did some stages, wrote some things.
Yep.
You build the barricades and then you figure out how difficult they are and then do the targets accordingly.
No, not
sure,
quite.
Sure, let's go with that. Yeah. No,
that sounds like a good idea, yeah. Let's just pretend.
No, why so didn't we think of that?
I think, well, we can backtrack just a little bit. We get a lot of range freedom at Monado that a lot of other clubs don't get.
Yep.
Like, there's an opportunity here to do something that a lot of other clubs just can't do, but through no fault of their own, they just don't have the range access and the permissions and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So, like, we're going to bring in big, heavy things. We're like, who can we call? First place that rocked up? Like, hey, there's a hire equipment place in Murray Bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Help you out. On the float. Bought it out on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday?
Tuesday, yep.
Tuesday, nice. This thing rocked up for free.
Yeah, right.
For free. Yeah, we did not pay for it. They floated it out at their own cost, lent it to us for a week, and they picked it up and floated it back to the
Who are these guys?
Moore's.
Moore Equipment Hire in Murray Bridge.
Nice.
Like, I'm not saying they're going to help everybody else out.
No, no, no. In terms of shout out to guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge.
Would, if you were to pay for that, for the week, that would probably be $1,500.
Something like that. So.
Yeah.
Yep. So they did us a – well, we couldn't have done what we wanted to do without that telehandler.
Correct.
So, yeah, we were like, cool, we want to move some big, heavy shit in place. Like, what else can we get? Mm. Like, rocks. I think the first rock place we called, we're like, hey, yeah, cool. Like, what do you need? Come tell us. Rocks.
Yep.
Lots of rocks.
Yep.
Lots of rocks came on the truck.
Yeah. And, you know, that was an interesting conversation because we didn't think we'd be able to leave them there anyway. So I sort of went to them and went, can we borrow some rocks?
You guys got rocks for borrowing?
Which he looked at me really funny. But then when I explained it to him, he's like, yeah, sure, no worries. Like, what do you need? Let's go pick some rocks. So. And same thing. They bought them out, dropped them off. So, amazing support from them as well.
Yeah, we took a bit of inspiration from King of the Hill last year where they had that sleeper wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can do that, but we can do it better. Sorry, guys.
Well, so, no, you're furthering the development of it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we you got a phone call me over the Christmas holidays, I reckon. Yeah. I found some railway sleepers up in – oh, man, where was that?
It's whatever day it was, about 78 degrees.
Yeah, it was.
And we thought we'd go up there and load sleepers on a
somewhere up past Clare. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, right.
We drove up there and we handpicked like a pile of about 1,000 sleepers to get the best ones. Negotiated on the price. Well, I bet from a poor little club, like, we can't even get much money. Can we just pay you a little bit less? And
community sport.
They gave us a bulk discount.
They gave us a really good deal. Everyone has been super supportive.
That's awesome.
Which has been amazing. So
So we went up there, took the boys up there. My boys, not your boys. doing that for a drive, and they didn't even. Well, they got out the car, and there was flies, and it was hot. And they're like, "Dad, can we get back in the car?" You're like, "Sure." We just sat in the car for 3 hours. You can sit in there for more if you want. And we drove home. So that started. Yeah, I think that was December, January, somewhere around there. We started to have some ideas, and I had a whole bunch of junk at work that we didn't need. So like, I've just been. Well, it was a contract, and. They're going to throw a whole bunch of stuff away. And I'm like, no. I'll just put it over there. We've got a use for that. They're like, who would have a use for that?
Flushy's scrapyard.
Yeah. Like, I've got a use for that.
Yeah.
That
was the big pipes, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, the big pipes. They looked awesome.
It was good.
Yeah.
So we just sort of started, we're like, we're going to have these barricades.
Mm. Yeah.
Then we started riding the match. And we're like, what are we going to do from these positions?
Mm.
And then we included probably more pan than we've ever had on the Monado range before.
Yeah,
which was really good. We just sort of chipped away at stage. What do we have, like, twice weekly meetings for like 2 months?
Yep.
Every Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. She wanted to come around and we'd have dinner and we'd play with the kids and
play some cricket, did all sorts of things. Yeah.
Are those times counting in that 600 hours?
No. No. What we didn't count was the 18 phone calls a day and 4,000 text messages. I've had this idea. How about this? Just think about this. So, yeah, we didn't, you know, collate it into a list and discuss it. It's just, oh, this idea came in my head. I'll ring you.
Yeah.
So, the match, it grew pretty organically, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
Once we sort of worked out our barricades and then, it sort of just grew from that.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that was a good way to do it.
I think.
Sort of going to start here and go.
Yeah, we had a, what else did we had a really interesting chat with Trent and Lucas early on. I think that was January sometime. About obviously they'd taken it on, the PRS on, and how they wanted to, where the direction and stuff like that. And we're like, we've got some good ideas about barricades and tripod rear as a like heavy, big conversation piece at the end of last year, where it was like, are we too reliant on tripod rear in Australia? We sat down and had a really good conversation about it with those guys. We had some theories after watching stuff in the US. I mean, I've never shot in the US, but. Watch it on YouTube, so I guess I'm an expert.
Well, I've shot in the US.
Sean shot in the US.
We looked at the types of barricades they have and some of that sort of stuff, and we're like, right, there's two key things going on here. One is they have a depth of barricade that we had not have. Mm-hmm. Did not have it this up. We were shooting off, you know, bits of timber that are 90 mil thick. Yep. They got rocks where you can put a bag at the front, a bag at the back, or a, you know, bipod at the front, or whatever you want to do. One bag, all of that. Like, right, so we don't have depth of barricade. And the other thing is that we don't have the range that they do in America. A lot of our shots are 270 meters to 500 at most ranges, where they probably, they're more like 350 meters out to 600, 700, 800. And we were chatting away and we're like, I think, was Ash on the call? I think Ash was on the call.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yep. And we're like, Ash, tell me why you grab your tripod on a 260 meter target that you know you can hit with one bag. Like, so I can see on the target where it hits, and then I can make a correction at the next distance. Like, so you don't need it to hit the target. You're using it for the additional time so you can get feedback. Yep. I'm like, I did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, cool. So we had this theory about designing a match where you didn't need tripod rear.
Mm.
That everything, you put your bag on it, you put your gun on it, and it would not move. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much the basis for the whole match.
Yeah. Judging by the amount of fuel we burnt cutting everything around, there's plenty of weight in them.
Yep.
That was one of the things. We're like, we can shoot matches without tripod rear.
Mm.
And really, you could have shot that entire match with one bag. You didn't even need a bipod.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw a tripod rear. Well, we did kind of see tripod rear on a rock. Then really didn't hear how well that worked out, but I hear it didn't work out so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw maybe on that sleeper wall a little bit of tripod rear.
On the second day, that was the only spot that was used.
I saw it used yep.
pretty often on that sleeper wall for that. Second day,
yeah, which is what you're aiming for, isn't it? Like, you know, tripod rear is a skill, is a tool in the belt that you should use where it makes sense to use.
Yeah, correct.
Not all the time.
Yeah. And we saw a 14-year-old take it up on the cattle gate, and that didn't work out so well for him. He came back down a little bit unhappy with his choices.
How did the stage officer describe that? Can you remember? No, his squad mount.
Bottom lip touching the stairs on the way down.
Yeah, on the way down.
Oh. It wasn't really 14. It's just you know who it is now. And it's not Josh.
And that was up on a big trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the trailer I used to cut all the shit around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing we absolutely took into account before we even really started was we know there is Mirage at Monado in March.
Yep.
It's going to be Mirage. What can we do to combat that a bit? So, you know, did we have any shots? There wasn't a single shot off a bench.
Nice.
Was there any prone shots?
There was like 8 prone shots that you could have taken, I think. We worked out.
But every position was elevated.
Yeah, nice.
But the closest to the ground would have been a meter off the ground probably, give or take.
Yep, something like that.
The highest was probably 3 meters off the ground. Give or take 3 meters.
Yep.
We used longer posts in the field as well. We added an extra 600-700 mil to every post that was on the ground to get up higher.
Get further up,
Which we learned, I can't reach that high to fix a target. So we had to drop all the posts to fix the target. Yeah. I think we had five target failures for the entire weekend as well. So.
Yeah,
and they were all on, I think they were all on targets that had slots cut them in, not the round holes.
Yep. Yeah.
We learned a thing.
Hmm?
If you put double or triple washers on targets that have the slot cut in them, they don't fail. Cool. If you put one washer on there, they fail.
Okay.
Learned a thing. Yeah.
Good thing to learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's important after the match to know that.
Yeah.
I saw a pretty good photo you put up of all the shrapnel shredding a piece of timber.
Well, that was almost cut through.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before
pretty cool.
In a single match. Yeah.
That must have copped a few rounds.
That was skills too, I think. It didn't cop that many.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
that was the fast skills too. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably one to bring up actually now that you referenced it, is the skill stages worldwide have changed.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, mm. which is great because those skill stages we had were back from 2012 or 2013 or something like those lines, and they had dated where the skill set had moved well beyond those skill stages. So it's great to see that change. Yeah. Do you want to give us a breakdown of the ones that you used?
Sure.
Oh, so look at the matchbook.
Okay, it's near, far, and big, small.
They do have numbers, but did we number the skill stage version there? I can't remember.
I think I put options in there.
Yeah, so we used option 2.
Okay.
And option 2 is 2 targets, separate distances, 366 and 457, so 400 and 500 yards.
Yep.
And they're a 203 mil or 8-inch target. And it's 5 positions off the original skills barricade.
Mm-hmm.
So you use all 4 of the standard positions and then you can reuse one. And it's just near-far move.
Okay.
And what I found really interesting about that was, you know, skill stages used to be, you'd look at the scores for a skill stage and it was clean, 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 clean. Mm. Miles of cleans.
Yep.
If you look at how many people actually cleaned that stage, it's not a big number. which you might have that there.
Give me like 10 seconds.
And is it still capped at 90 seconds?
It is capped at 90 seconds.
Yeah.
But I think that's possibly something that's going to be looked at as well because it is pretty tight.
Yeah. Adding two more targets as well as the distance changes.
Yeah, yes. Correct.
So I have the results.
Okay.
So we had two people clean skills two in the new format on day one.
Yeah.
Well. Yep.
We had about 3 9s and about 5 8s and it went down pretty quick from there.
Okay.
It was a bit switchy on the actually on Saturday the wind blew from all directions on the range.
Yep.
Was it Saturday or Sunday it rained?
Saturday
afternoon. I got some complaints about the rain in the match or the competitor email we sent out. I said, look, it could be 35 degrees or it could be raining. I'm not sure, so come prepared for both. And they were like, oh, and I was like, well, didn't you? Wouldn't be both on the same day.
I had some people tell me that they started shooting better when they rained. Rain came in and they were all Victorians.
Right.
So they're used to the
unpredictable rain, wind and rain. Yep, they're right at home.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Because you used the second skill stage
version. Yeah, so that's big small. So that's at the standard 366 and you've got an 8-inch and a 6-inch target next to each other.
Okay.
Yep.
That would have had more cleans, I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, and the same thing. You 4 positions, then reuse one.
Okay.
So.
Same barricade?
Did you hear how a certain cherry farmer went on the day one?
No. Didn't hear a thing.
Didn't hear much talk about that.
I didn't hear a ting.
I did not hear a single impact.
You'd only hear about it if someone was calling impacts.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's rough. Is there a photo of that, Josh, of the aftermath?
There is a photo of that.
All right. You should put that up on the edit.
It'll be put over the edit.
Yeah.
100% it will.
Look at that photo.
Right. So
how good is that?
Wow.
What are we looking at? Describe it for me, guys. I know I can see it, but obviously describe it for me.
There was a hug.
Very sad.
There was a hug required.
There was a very sad looking man that needed a hug from someone.
Okay. Gotcha.
Future relative.
Yeah. Set person finished in it.
All right. Some predictions.
Set person finished in about 10th place and it would have made a substantial difference to their weekend had they not donated that stage.
Cool.
And if I remember correctly, there's one other skill stage version.
Yeah, I'm just
looking
at it now.
So they're all around that PRS skills barricade. What was that? And then the different variants on that. Is this a 4-minute mile deal where like they're tough now, but give it a couple of years and guys are going to start being all over it because that's a skill set? That's what happened with the first ones.
I think yes, but to a lesser extent.
Okay.
Yeah. You're shooting at a target at best part of 500 metres now, which doesn't take more than a 2-3 mile per hour switch in the wind, and you'll be off that target.
Okay.
So you've got to be really on it. On day two, we ran the big small at 367. Mm-hmm. About 10 people cleaned it and about 6 or 7 people got 9s and then it went a lot of 8s, a lot of 7s.
Okay.
Yeah. But that 6-inch target is, it's not big, especially when it's Mirage.
It's about moving. 6 inches.
Yeah. Mm. It's definitely not big. It's not as big as 8 inches.
Okay, good. Good.
I don't know how big 8 inches is. I'm not really sure. Never seen it.
Just imagine 4 of them.
There is another version that we will probably not be able to run on almost any range in Australia. So
yeah, it's got width to it.
I mean, how do you know?
I've been told. Sean hung out with you for like 6 months. So,
there has to be a minimum distance. I think it's still at 367, but it has to be 100 yards. No, it's at 367 and 457 or whatever it is. 366, 457. And they have to be 100 yards apart in width.
Oh, yeah, from the tights.
We were within about...
We got close.
About 8 or 9 metres of being able to run that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And that was pushing the range template to the absolute limit.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't know of any other ranges that will be able to
Anyway. Just a slight variation. I'd run it.
Well, it's not technically a skill stage.
No, but it's, you know, good practice.
So it's a bit of a shame because we were able to run... Was it skills one previously that not many other clubs could run?
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to be able to do that.
I do think we ran a modified skills one.
I thought it was the real deal.
No, I think it was just under.
Oh, right. Oh, that's
it. Throw out every match in the past.
It was rewritten for Australia.
Right.
As were the other two. Yep. They were modified to suit conditions here.
Oh, yeah.
So only the stuff that you can't really deal with, like
thanks
distance.
Thanks to Maxwell, you can't run the old skills one anymore in that range. Okay. he was pushing some dirt around with the Manitou to make a couple of berms in front of the mover. Oh, the mover made an appearance too.
Oh, yeah. We got
approved to run the mover at the club.
Hey.
Wow, cool. Awesome.
And Maxwell was pushing some dirt up in front of where it changes direction.
I heard you nearly blew up the mover.
What? When?
On the match weekend. Didn't you make a mistake with the mover?
Oh, we definitely learned like how to refill a generator. So the mover stopped and we're like, it was nobody was shooting at it. And I looked over at Sean. I'm like, hey, Sean, the mover's not moving. He's like, oh, yeah.
It's taking a break.
So we're like, we had a target failure. And we're like, oh, cool. We'll go down and refill it with fuel. And we're like, just the cord had wobbled a bit loose on the mover, like on the mover, on the generator. Like, that's cool. We'll fill it with fuel while we're here. Yep. Started up. And then we looked about 15 minutes later. The mover's not moving. Shit. Like, oh, and then it starts running through your head like, uh-oh. Has it got gremlins? Yeah. Or
there's more, there's more just a couple of bolts and a few extra washers to go fix that.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Mm. And we're like, oh, man. We're like, see, so we've got to go down and fix it because they were about to start shooting.
Yeah.
We drive down there and we're like, yeah, the vent for the fuel tap is turned off.
The generator has stopped. Why is the generator stopped? Because somebody didn't open the vent on the fuel cap.
No, it was on, but when we closed the lid,
Who closed the lid?
We closed the lid.
The royal
then,
we.
Then we, when we closed the lid, we must have closed the vent off at the same time.
See what I mean about the relationship?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much like being married.
Yeah. There's no we in team.
Yeah. Yeah, if it goes right, it was me. If it goes wrong, it was us.
So we turned the mover back on. We're like, oh, it seems to work again. And yeah, it went along all weekend without any dramas. Which is good.
Good.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. And you're selling movers now. You're moving into the moving business.
I'm going to. Yeah, nice. I'm just finalising what they need to cost so I don't have to pay people to make movers, which is a really important bit about selling movers.
If you price it well, you won't ever have to make any.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, price it high enough, no one will buy one. Problem solved.
There'll be somebody. Well, Adam reliably informed us when we were downrange when he checked out. He's like, we want four. That was just after I'd offered Sean a 49% share in the business, and he said no.
I did ask for profit and loss, but it doesn't look healthy at the minute.
It does not look healthy. There's been no income right now.
It's all loss. Yeah, fair enough.
So, and then Adam came out and said, we want four at the club. And I was like, how about that 49% share you're not getting right now? And he's like, ah, crap.
Very good.
So you're up for discussions then? Still open?
for ownership. Oh, the price has gone up.
I've
got orders now.
Supply. So demand's gone through the roof, mate. Nice. Through the roof.
So, yeah, I'm going to, in the next couple of months, hopefully get get some stuff out there for sale.
Have you got a business name selected for your movers? Because
I haven't yet. Actually, can we get the people at home to help with this?
Josh, can we do that? Can we put a post up about giving us suggestions for names? In fact, if you guys are watching in the comments now, if you're doing the live thing, put them in the comments and Josh will read them out at the end.
I just need to know that the comments. Yeah, the first one is like the beta version and the second one will be done properly. And the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one. I've changed a lot. I've got a nice CAD model. And
I've got a name.
Solve some things.
Okay, here we go.
This ginger can move.
Oh, nice. Start.
Okay. All right, the bar is set high. Yeah. Or low, depending on on who you are.
People keep asking me how fast I can make it go. I'm like, well, the motor turns at 1500 RPM, so the sky's kind of the limit.
Speaking of how fast it goes, that was one interesting thing.
That was controversial.
We both found is we had multiple shooters tell us that we had to tell them how fast it was going while they're standing there with their Kestrel in their hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, not knowing how.
Have you got a reticle in your scope? Yeah. You got a Kestrel? Yeah. Yep. You've got all the tools you need to work it out.
Yep.
No, you need a stopwatch as well. You need to know how far, how many mils it moves and how many seconds.
Yeah, that's in the Kestrel.
As they were scrolling Insta on their phone.
Yeah.
It's
in the Kestrel. So that's the other thing. They had a phone with Google. So
The Kestrel's got a function for
you
that.
You must tell us how fast it is moving.
I like that. You have to tell me how fast it is. Where does it say that?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. I think every squad worked together and worked it themselves. So, everyone got to learn something.
Yeah, it was good. Actually, I feel a little bit for the guys that never shot on it from last year before because we've been progressively making it harder every time. So, like, the first match at Mildura, I mean, it moved on the first day and then it fell over on the second day. We fixed that.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, you can pretty much just shoot it prone. And everyone missed it. Figured out how to shoot it, especially when it stopped on the second day. It got heaps easier to hit. Yeah. And then it went to finale and then everybody was like, oh, wow. You know, now we had to shoot it off of a barricade and one
was that
day
the back and forth where it just started to go backwards?
Yeah, it got a bit stage fright.
Performance anxiety.
That's right. And then this year, now at Monada, you had to shoot it on day one off of, there was a concrete block that had a pipe going through it and you had to shoot not the mover off the pipe and then prone off the top of one bag at the mover onto the pipe, back to on top of the concrete at the mover again onto the pipe. That wasn't too bad. Okay. Then day two, you know, the uneven posts that we put in at the club?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you shot the mover off of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, righto.
Yeah, so it was, we just stepped it up, as we've done every time it's come out.
Mm.
But the poor people from like WA and, you know, places never shot on it before, they're like, how do you guys hit this? I'm like, oh, we've been practicing for 2 matches. What about you guys?
Yep.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
that was good.
No, it's good to see it's, you know, it's really progressing and making, you know, making appearance at lots of matches.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it'd be good to see more of those around at clubs.
I've had one very special request to get built.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. for a match this year, the brand new one might make an appearance.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm. Cool. Well, we better get that business name sorted.
Yeah.
Guys in the comments. Josh, have we got any suggestions for...
No, everyone's been boring tonight.
Okay, good. All right. Have you come up with any ideas?
You're not doing much else. I'm boring too.
Have you got a microphone now?
I do.
Oh.
Oh,
turn it off.
I had one before. It was just really quiet.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on then. That was my suggestion.
You said you guys introduced a fair bit of pan in our range.
Thanks for getting the joke, Josh.
You're
obviously
welcome.
Within the range template, how much did you work out how many degrees or?
Nearly 45.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we shot from the left-hand side. We put the rock pile on the left of range one.
Mm-hmm.
We were a bit nice when we said, well, people are probably going to struggle with this a little bit. And you had one shot at 380 and one at 430 or something like that, which were pretty well in line down the range.
Mm-hmm.
And you went all the way over to the right-hand side of the 200-meter berm from the left-hand side of the 100-meter mm-hmm. berm, which is within our range template.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you went all the way over to the far left-hand side of the 500-meter berm.
Yep.
So you had, and there was people that missed at 200 and 500 after thinking they had a win call at 200. It was actually 240.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you shoot the 200 meter range from that side of the range, it's 240 meters.
Yep.
Which we learned on Thursday when we started shooting it and going, oh, they were going low. It's a bit weird. And we're like,
yeah.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Right, that range bound a bit different in the book.
Yeah. Yep.
Off we go.
It was very cool rocking up to see that though. Like I noticed that when I came out of being able to look and you're watching people and you're like, that's a weird angle to see someone on. You're like, no, that's inside the barrier though. And you watch them go from that to that.
It's not something that we don't offer it at all very often.
No.
Because it's technically within our range template, but when you have a casual range day, even a club match, you could have 30 people shooting and you can't monitor to make sure that they're doing the exact right thing.
Yep.
But at a PRS match, we ran 4 squads.
Yeah,
there was 4 people shooting at any one time and they had one person supervising them.
That's it.
That knows what the range template is.
10 people watching.
The risk of anything, not that there's a risk, I mean, you're within the range template, so you're not doing the wrong thing, but the risk of anything going wrong by accident is...
It's much more controlled.
Significantly lower,
That's it.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, it's basically zero because if you shoot within the flags, you're in the range template.
That's exactly
nothing can go wrong.
Mm. Mm. It's good. It's a good way to be, but it's good to be able to be in that more controlled environment. We can leverage the full ability of the range.
Yeah, the same thing when we put troop lines out. We don't put troop lines out for casual shooting because people will shoot at them from the wrong angle and they could end up on the freeway. So we just don't put them out because it's too hard to control.
Yep. Yep. But when you're in a controlled match, you can do so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good way to be. Make the most of the range you've got.
Yeah, so we did lots of panning on that match. It's probably more panning than I think we've done at a match so far. Not the one that I've shot. I can't think of any more.
So people learn how to use their Kestrels, set up multiple targets and wind direction. I got a quick lesson on that in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's so I think what people did was they learned how to dial their scope really quick.
Oh yeah,
right. Sean and I both like a bit of holdover.
And
turns out that there was like 53 out of 55 shooters that don't like holdover.
This is something you talked about to me on the day, where we've done a lot here where you dial a lot of elevation, and the holdover skill is perhaps not as present as it could be, could be.
Yeah, it's something that we actively train.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, a lot of other people don't actively train.
Yeah, because if you don't, it's there's one argument to say, well, I should have enough time to dial for each target on the clock. And you're like, well, you have another opportunity available to you where you can hold, which is quicker and can be just as accurate. And so, if you don't have the time, you're going to make this decision that I'm going to try and get more time to actually take my shot and not spend time spinning turrets.
Correct.
Mm. I actually remember the first PRI that Butters came out to, and he had that skill set. He didn't dial. I think he dialed one stage, and he just held everything and won, did all right. But, I remember from back then, like, I should pay attention to this holding thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. And you use particular reticles, and you hold, and they even tell you how fast the wind's blowing.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you, in your briefs,
Sorry, Josh, a reticle is that thing in the scope where there's lines, and you use those lines to point at targets. Yeah,
they don't have those in cameras.
That explains a lot of things with my shooting then. I'm used to having like a square thing with grids.
Yeah. You're normally rule of thirds.
That's not a... No, it's different.
Yeah.
So if your stages were like holdover stages, or you kept your times tight that sort of forced people to...
Yeah, you could choose.
We did learn some things.
We learned some things.
So get into the lessons.
Our times were a bit tight.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had barricades that big before, so you know, it takes time to move over a big barricade.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
So we navigate
your way onto them. And
yeah. So we sort of shot everything that was shot on day one. We shot on the Thursday, pretty much every stage. And we did adjust the times as much as we could without destroying match flow. But we also learned that Plush and I can shoot pretty fast. So
there's I think that's definitely true.
Yeah.
But then there's also you're familiar with the concept we're trying to achieve here, and you've almost because you've been thinking about it for months.
Yeah.
You've got the inside.
I think it was word on even it. Simpler than that. It was a case of we know where the targets were because it's our home range, and we just put them there. Which we also put a whole bunch of targets in the middle of the range, and then walk back down to shoot the first stage. And we're like, whoa, which target is which?
Change of plans here.
So then we went back and found some core flute and drew big numbers on the core flute and put them up. And then,
Now I've got a question about that, because we've done that at previous matches years and years ago, PRIs and the first PRSs and stuff. How many holes in those pieces of core flute?
Oh, wait, it gets better.
Sorry, I'm asking the right questions here.
On the Thursday night when we knocked all the targets over before Friday practice, there was one on the 500 meter burn that was up quite high.
Yep.
And we were like, we just laid it down and we're like, the core flute was kind of shining. We're like, oh, some idiot's going to shoot this, right? Like, because it's white core flute looking like a little bit like a target. Anyway, so I don't know, an hour or two into practice on Friday. And walking along, and I walked past the Western Australians. And I can overhear a conversation. They're like, did you guys hit that target on the left hand side? Like, we must have sent like 150 rounds amongst the five of us to that thing and nobody could hit it. Like, we are just like, what is going on with that target? Our data must be off and this, that, and the, you know, all of these things. And I'm standing there and I'm just like, oh shit. And I was like, hey boys. And they're like, yeah. I was like, is that like right next to a timber post, like right under the red flag? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's a bit of core flute. What do you mean? And I'm like, it's not a target. It's a piece of white core flute on a piece of timber that I'm now going to have to replace.
Yeah. So,
thanks,
so
boys.
Without having had a single shot
we
fired.
We wasted a bit of timber. And it had, it has to have had 40 holes in it.
Yeah.
So that was shooting okay.
So sort of one in three.
I reckon Josh has got a photo of that, I'm not sure. In the edit after.
Is that the video?
No.
No.
That's for later. Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need to discuss the video.
No.
Teasing that later.
I don't know. It's pretty good. I gave it a watch. It's very funny.
Over the course of the weekend then, did those core flutes get shot?
I don't think so.
That's good.
People were pretty onto it.
Yeah.
We did get, like, after guys had, we didn't put core flutes on every single target on every stage, just the confusing targets.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So if it was hanging in a timber frame in the middle of the 300 meter berm, you can kind of work that out for yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
We're not going to put a core float on it. But when it was
Can everyone work that out, or did some people ask for reshoots based on missing targets?
I mean, they were given, like, opportunity to look through binos. They were told that it had a number two on the core flute, and they still chose to shoot the wrong targets.
And then ask for a reshoot?
Ask for a reshoot, yeah.
Yep. And how was the official response on that one?
Well, we had to ask if this was a joke. It was the first thing we had to establish, because we thought the piss was getting taken out of us.
Yep.
And then I can't remember the exact words.
I believe at the end we said, what do you think? And he went, nah, probably not. So you can see the realisation dawning that, No, I can't work this at all.
Well, if you don't ask the question, you don't know, right?
Yep,
you don't know for correct. Sure.
And so that takes one of my future tricks out of my bag.
Yeah.
I was going to use that one.
Yeah, we're on to you.
I shot the wrong targets, reshoot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the people did comment, though. They said, oh, it was really good having core flutes on that one stage.
Mm.
Then went to the next stage, like, there was no core flutes. And I couldn't find the targets. You're like, oh, well, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just had the stage number written on it?
Oh, one of the stages, yes, but one of the stages, there was a diamond troop line. And the diamonds, like, I got behind the sleeper wall to shoot it. And like, boom, impact. They're like, that was not an impact. And you're like, was that the second target? They're like, yes. Right, okay, re-engage, impact. And hit him all the way out.
Yeah.
They're like, we need core flute. And so we end up putting like 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D, 5E on that particular stage.
Yeah.
People really liked that. They didn't have to think about it. We were like, well, we don't have to put them out, but probably only the PSSA members would actually get them in order.
Mm. Yeah,
because
yeah,
they know where the posts are. Yep. Nobody else would get them. It's a bit unfair.
Yeah, the challenge we were looking at on that stage wasn't for target identification. It was, you know, yep, this is a troop line and you're going to have to move and you've got to do this. So, you know, let's give them the benefit of at least shooting at the right target.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to STS targets as well. So, little fun fact if you didn't know. So the 200mm diamonds that we got, thank you very much, Sean, much appreciated. Sean,
are these like the ones that were hanging in the in the thing?
Yeah,
I saw that. I'm like, that's a really close target.
Yeah, not rated for the velocity that they're going to get engaged in.
Yeah, this is literally hanging on the barricade. So, I'm like, well, that should be some points for someone.
Yeah, so we did a little bit. We should come back and talk about a little bit of the nod to old school in a bit.
Okay,
but look forward to it. Sean's great. They were the original STS targets that he ever made with the 200mm diamonds. And I'm like, oh, that'll be reasonable size for a trip line, you know, with a very stable barricade. And we picked them up and we're like, they're really small. I'm like,
That's tape, what she said.
Tape measure. I'm like, oh, they're 200mm diamonds, diamond like tip, not on the straight side. Oh, they're all of about 140mm. Like, oh shit. And we're like, have you got a diamond, Sean? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, I've got a bigger diamond too. We'll put those two out there and we'll make it work.
Is that why they were hanging on the barricade?
Well, we had a couple of extras. Yeah, he looked after us on the price and we're like, oh, we'll grab a few. They're good targets.
Yep.
You won't break them. The nod to the old school. We ran a really long stage we ran a 4 minute stage.
Mm-hmm.
15 shots.
Yep.
Down on for the people that know our range 6 and 7, which is the 200m range.
Mm-hmm.
So we put out, you know, 2 years ago, somewhere like that. We went and found every barricade that we would have used for an entire match.
Oh, two, old 3 years ones. Ago.
Yep. So we went and got we went to the bottom of the storage area and we dragged out all the old school stuff.
Yeah.
Apart from a rock, maybe. And that was probably about it. Everything else. The NRL 22.
The NRA
tree. Yeah. Whatever that thing's. Pyramid.
Tree.
Pyramid.
Yeah.
We went and found the old Ratley tank traps and we went and found the kayak. The kayak came out. We went and found the original club Skills 2 barricade, and we went and found there was tires and there was all this stuff and there was a car. We probably didn't have a car back then, but we had to make it just a little bit fair for the people that we knew and hadn't shot off terrible barricades before.
Yep.
And so we went and put them out all in one stage across two ranges. Nice. So it was the first 5 barricades of 1 shot per position on a big small target. And then you went across to the other range and you had a big small 2 shots from every position. And finished up on the car.
Mm.
And people were like, oh, that was cool. You know, that was a brilliant stage and all that. So they were like, we used to shoot the entire match. That was an entire match worth of barricades. Yeah. And they're like, how did you hit anything? You're like, we didn't.
Tripod rear.
Yeah, tripod rear. That's why we tripod rear, because of those things. Yeah. So that was really cool feedback. They were just like, people got off and they were so excited. And they were like, that was fantastic. And you could actually do the whole stage by walking.
Yeah.
And then people ran.
Now I'm in. Yeah. Sounds great.
But then people ran and they ran and they ran and they ran. They got to the end and they were like puffed out. And there were people that timed out and there was people that did it with a minute to spare. It was brilliant to
yeah,
watch.
Nice. Yeah.
I do remember jumping down there on, I think it was Friday, and I had a little like sneak peek and it did very much feel like you've got like the old school style stuff down here and you've got sort of the newer, what everyone wants, a solid barricade to be like, yeah, there's that nice little nod to, this is what we used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
There was people there. We did the first stage. We went down and did the first stage brief to make sure it was all going to work all right.
Yep.
Walked up to the, we're like, oh, by the way, this is, I couldn't remember if it was the original PRS Australia Skills 2 barricade or the club barricade. I was like, it's one or the other. We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
And people walked up and they were like shaky and they're like, this is wobbly. Yeah. Yeah. This was the best one ever made when it got made. Before that, they were even wobblier.
Like,
what do you mean they were even wobblier? Like, you put your gun on it and the thing shakes like, 50mm backwards and forwards. And like, that was a good one. There's a few people who are like, oh, wow, we've moved a long way since the start of the sport. Yeah, we've really progressed.
Yep.
That was all sideways movement?
Yeah.
There was no forward movement?
No, we deliberately kept it like 3 metres, 4 metres in front of the firing line.
Yeah, cool.
We didn't really want people zigzagging forwards and back. And it creates a few problems.
Yeah, for sure.
But sideways movement, okay. And then we were like, you have to drop your mag when you move from one range to the other because you can't transition to another range with a loaded firearm and all that. Even outside the control of a range officer and all that sort of stuff. But
Okay. Yeah, nice.
Really well. We had really good feedback.
We did.
There was only one person that complained about it.
It don't matter.
He should learn how to shoot Skill Stage 2.
I wonder who that could be.
All right, well, narrow it down for us. Very good. Well, we had some predictions last episode.
Ooh,
And we need to get into these because these actually, this year, we're going to carry points over. So, Josh, I think we worked out a point system.
I'm at a disadvantage here.
No, you're not. No, it'll be balanced out. All right. So, because obviously you couldn't pick anyone because it was your match and that would have been a little bit unfair. So we, but there will be, there's an allowance for people to miss podcasts and that sort of thing. So we won't count everyone's all.
Oh, you can pick your top three.
No. And so we all picked, our top one and we picked our top three. And so.
Except for Andy.
And just remembered
mental blank
names. So Josh, what did we say? We said if you pick someone and they finish in the top three and you've chosen them in that top three, you get 1 point per person.
Yep, correct.
If you pick the winner of the match, you get 2 points for that position. And if you manage to score all three in the correct order, you always get a point per person that you've picked correctly. So it's 1, 2 plus 2 points for the top. Plus a bonus 2 points for picking it all correctly. So six points.
Right.
Does it make sense so far?
You should write that down or you have to go back and watch
it. Well, we just documented it. Yeah. So watch it every week that we do one. All right. So
we'll get to 2 minutes before the next podcast and we'll have to go through that again.
You should make it into a reel.
We will. All right. So, Josh, we'll start with you. You picked Joel to win the match.
I did.
Have you got the results? Ooh, yeah. Let's do this formally.
Which ones?
From
the
match.
The ones from the match or the ones from like halfway through the.
No, the ones at the end of the match.
The results.
Thanks, Andy.
I didn't think that was a complicated question. I think you made it harder than it had to be.
Yeah. Now, from this year, plus you're not like.
I don't want to talk about this year. I didn't shoot you.
Okay, good.
What do you want? Do you want first? Do you want third?
So,
want
how did Joel eighth? Go?
That's next question.
Okay, great. So, no points for Joel. Did Ash finish in top three?
Next question.
Sorry, sorry, guys. We're not trying to out Ash and Joel. We're trying to out Josh.
No, I was trying to be nice. Yeah,
that was me.
You picked Lucas to be in the top three. And
I got that one right.
You were correct.
You definitely got that one right.
So, you're on 1 point,
I definitely
Josh.
Said he was going to win.
Andy, you gave two names because you couldn't remember anyone else's name.
Yeah.
You're going to be popular. So you chose Ash for first position. Ooh, yep. No points for that. But you did choose Dan Hennessy for 1 point. Hey. So well done.
One point.
I picked Aaron to take out first place. How did I go with that prediction there, Plushy?
He was not close to first place.
Okay.
He wasn't too far away, but he wasn't as close as you would have wanted him to be.
True. Not top three. I did choose Lucas in the top three, and so I get a point for that. Josh and I got points for that one. And I did choose Michael Blackburn.
Good choice.
And he was second. Yeah. So I have ended up on 2 points.
Well done.
Just on that, is that Michael Blackburn and Dan Hennessy's first podiums in Paris?
I believe so, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well done.
Well done, guys.
Did Dan podium at the finale?
No.
I could be completely wrong, but...
Andy got. Did you get third?
I got third.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Andy. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
Oh, hang on. You got second Australian. Maybe Dan got third Australian.
Anyway, that's it's not about last year. It's about this year. Yeah. And so we.
Fucking Collie.
No, it's not Collie.
No, it's Collie. It's Paddy.
Collie didn't know.
Yeah, that American guy that was there.
Yeah.
Anything coming back?
It's, no.
No, you can't remember his name. That's why. Yeah, all right, cool.
A picture of him.
So that's where we're up to at the moment. And over the course of the year, we'll do that for each of the matches and give out the points. But, of course, you got sort of one gimme match where you be away for a show or something on those lines. We'll go with that.
Cool.
So, plus, next episode, you'll be able to make some predictions and see how you go.
We didn't talk about these.
We didn't.
Well, you may as well now. Before we wrap up, go with that one.
So we had a little change this year where we were asked to not give the volunteers the walk at the prize table like we did last year, but to reward them equally because the spread of the recognition and reward that the volunteers got was very unequal. So we were asked to do something that they all got the same. So we were very lucky. We got Koi Knives to come on board and they gave us, or gave and give us, we paid for them, but we didn't pay a lot. Some very cool knives.
They supported us very, very well.
Yeah. We paid for some very cool knives that are money can't buy. They're engraved.
But you paid for them.
Sorry?
Money can't buy them.
This is a one-time deal.
You did buy them. So money did buy them.
Yeah, but money can't buy that one.
Money can't buy them again.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure if you offer someone the right amount of money.
Josh offers you $1 million, you take it.
No way. I'm not giving him a knife.
No, selling him a knife.
Can't give
Josh. Then you might be able to actually buy into the movers.
Hang on, I know how much Josh delays me for ammunition, so I'm never going to get paid for the knife anyway.
What about dinner? Josh,
I just like
dinner.
The assumption I have $1 million in that. Please.
We were able to give all of the volunteers that helped a knife that had meltdown 24.
Meltdown 24. So between we had about 20 volunteers,
right.
And between them they'd be over 600 hours they put in.
Wow.
Volunteer hours.
Yep.
So.
Hang on, I volunteered.
Huh. You didn't volunteer very well.
What time are you going to get there Saturday? What time are you going to be there
Saturday? The time I got there.
No, that is not what's in my notes.
The time I got there.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. So. It's weird. It's about 11:30 phone call. Are you like anywhere near the range? I haven't seen you all day. Nope. Nowhere near the range.
Yeah. No, 11:30 I was on the way at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, on the way via Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, our volunteers were really good, and we did try.
Most of your volunteers were really good.
Well, Josh wasn't really volunteering. He didn't help.
Yeah,
he was just a visitor.
Yeah. So, yeah, we tried.
Can I put my invoice in, please?
For what?
My time.
Yeah, what
it was
time?
Like an hour or two.
Sure, you can put an invoice in for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's longer than normal.
It's the only pay that I get.
We'll pay you in gin.
Deal.
Yeah.
All right.
My landlord doesn't take that.
Get a better landlord.
I'm trying.
You can move in here. Oh, very good. All right, gents, anything else to cover off on the match?
Just a big thank you to all the people that contributed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't happen without them.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Yeah, including Josh.
No.
Okay.
No. Everybody except Josh that helped.
We'll give him
today.
A thank you. Don't get a big thank you.
Just remember, I still control your microphone.
So.
Right. So anyway.
He controls that one as well. I'm sorry. He controls that microphone as well.
No, just a big thank you. That's... Without them, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
It's as simple. It's as simple as that.
Yep. And yep. The volunteers, support of the club, and also support of all the shooters that came and picked our match as their first match of the year. So I really appreciate it. And hopefully we showed them a good time.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the squad mum thing. We forgot about that.
Maybe we'll circle back to that for the next episode because we're going to tease some stuff about the next match, but we may as well cover off on that. So
part two.
Not part two, just a different episode.
This is next fortnight, Andy.
Yeah, this is...
Magic.
No.
Wearing the same clothes.
Did you bring the same... You didn't bring a change of shirt, did you?
No. I'll put it on backwards.
Just take it off.
We'll just swap.
Take it off. Righto, speaking of taking it off, someone said about a video.
A what?
Are we going out with a video?
Oh, yeah, we need to.
It's got a bit of size about it. What was that?
Bends to the left.
It's got a little groove on it.